You're listening to the best of Vossie. And now on 1170 SEN Breakfast, Vossie's verdict.
My verdict this morning, my goodness, what a day of cricket yesterday. This time on the show yesterday, I devoted my verdict to talking up Test cricket. That the Ashes, in particular, is the best, better than any other series, or indeed, better than any other format of the game. But I could not possibly have imagined what was to transpire. First ball. The first ball of yet another series that has a history all the way back to the 1800s. And this is what happened.
The Ashes summer of 21-22 gets underway as Stark roars in and bowls to Burns. He bowled in first ball! Mitch Stark serves notice! And Ashes can be defined by the first delivery. And Stark has bowled Burns on the leg stump around his pads.
That's the anti-Steve
superbly Harris called. Is that not? Damien Fleming's the laughter here there. That may be the best co-commentary I've ever heard. We pay him thousands to work for us to get that expert analysis, and his reaction was laughter. I mean, that is a moment. That is a moment you will remember forever. I had Brett Lee on the show recently, and we were speaking of the Fox Cricket promotion of a top 100 in Australian cricket history moments. Well, hold my beer. We have a late nomination. Such a dramatic statement to open the series. I loved a headline I read from the UK this morning. Optimism shattered at 1 minute past midnight. That was the local time across England that the first ball was bowled. Quite incredibly, this incredible moment and rare moment in cricket history comes just days after we had a New Zealand spinner, Ajaz Patel, taking all 10 wickets in an innings in the second test against India. Just the third man in history to take all 10. Are these signs of a trend? Are we in for some sort of history-breaking summer? You don't want to miss a ball, and you won't hear on SEN. And I back up what I said on the verdict yesterday. Test cricket, the best.
Vossie's verdict.
I'll get the thoughts of Simon O'Donnell on that right now. Former Test player, champion, absolute champion fella, great analyst of the game, but above all, a fan, a lifelong fan. Simon O'Donnell, as a fan of cricket, what did you make of yesterday?
Thrilled that we finally got there, I suppose. Rossi, you know, there's been all sporting events, particularly when you're looking forward to these major ones, over the last couple of years, we're not sure whether they're on or they're off, or and the players get in the country, all the challenges that have been put in front of us. But finally getting to the line yesterday, I think there was a sense of relief, but obviously expectations. It was a great day.
I tell you what, it's a where were you when moment, isn't it? It's right up there. The first ball. Where were you then when Mitchell Stark bowls that ball, Simon?
Yeah, no, I was sitting in the lounge room and tuned in. And that's just extraordinary in itself. You know, I think it's back in the 30s was the last time, wicket fell off the first ball in an Ashes series. So, that just to get everyone further revved up at the ground. You know, that was probably the thing that stood out to me. You know, your directors were able to call for crowd shots and see people showing their enthusiasm and their love of the sport and the excitement that it had generated. So that was great in itself.
I heard Jared Waitley say in the SEN coverage, like they were getting feedback from listeners, there was a couple of blokes pool maintenance guys, and they were working on a pool in the first wicket. One of them fell in. He dropped the skimmer in. They were celebrating the wicket. I mean, it's basically, it's going to sell tickets. Like, you know what I mean? That first ball defines everyone suddenly bought into it, and everyone's walking around a bit taller and excited. What about that? Did you see that? How good. I mean, it's just an amazing moment yesterday. How different it could have been had the coin fell down the way for Pat Cummins. Like, Australia could have been batting first. Would have been batting first.
Yeah, and I don't think the conditions for the Aussies, Vossie, are going to be a lot better today than what the Poms had yesterday. You know, the wicket, yes, will be a little easier to bat on, but I think there's still going to be some good assistance for the bowlers. And right throughout the Test match, the way the weather pattern looks is that there's going to be some assistance for the bowlers out there with some movement through the air. So, you know, the English, you know, 147 on the board's not enough, but, you know, if they can get some early wickets this morning, you know, there's a long way to go in this tour, and they just need to right the ship and sort of not so much grab momentum, but give themselves some self-confidence that, you know, everything's going to be okay here, and this isn't going to be a crushing blow day one. It's just a little ripple in the pond.
I'd love to hear your thoughts on the selections for England. Now, first of all, it's a bit of a mystery around James Anderson. First, we were told it was a calf injury, and then Joss Butler came out and said, no, he's fit. He's just being rested at 39 years of age. They're keeping him back for the second match of the series. I thought, oh, hang on a sec, rested for the, you know, this is an Ashes tour. And then Stuart Broad left out as well. Could, you know, the Australians admitted they were caught by surprise. I reckon Dave Warner would have been going, you beauty. Neither Anderson or Broad in the first test.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. The Australian batting lineup all would have looked at each other and said, well, gee whiz. Now, don't mind a Pommy bowling lineup without those two first up. You know, I just don't subscribe to the rest theory with, you know, Jimmy Anderson. I know he's 39. If he can't, you know, I would hope Jimmy Anderson would say the same thing. You know, I think when he put his head on the pillow last night, he said, you know, what's this resting business? You're either part of it or you're not if you're 100% fit. And if he was fit, I think it's a real mistake that, you know, we're holding Jimmy Anderson back. You know, Jimmy Anderson playing this test match, you know, four or five over spells, you know, it's not going to, that's probably where he's at the age he is. Well, you know, that's all he needs to do in Brisbane. You know, bowl 18 or 24 balls each spell, get a little bit of movement if you can, grind one out every second spell. Well, he's done his job for England, and you know, just the mentality of having him there as part of their attack, particularly when he was with Stuart Broad and other Ashes campaigns, particularly in England where they've torn us apart. Well, you know, they'd be, you know, it just helps them stand a bit taller. So I think that's a real blue if, as we think it is, he is 100% fit.
Simon O'Donnell, my special guest here on Breakfast with Vossie, 1170 SEN. On Pat Cummins, Simon, first day as test skipper, 5 wickets. You know, he could probably, at the end of the day's play yesterday, I'll quote an old saying, he could put his arm down the S-bend and pull out a gold watch. I mean, he's had a day to remember, Pat Cummins.
He might have got Lara Bingle's ring. Was he?
Well, I don't know where that's going, but yes. I'm just saying it was, how could it be any better? I mean, it's just an extraordinary day. And to hear him talk, he was talking like the exuberance of him after I think he was on absolute cloud nine.
I don't know if we're allowed to say it anymore, being politically correct, was he? You know, the old days he used to go home and kick the cat or kick whatever came, you know, he would have been patting the cat when he got home last night. I don't think it can get any better, can it? Like, not winning the toss is the first good thing that happened to him.
Yep.
And leaving it all on Joe Root's shoulders.
Yep.
Then, you know, 5 wickets. You know, the bowling change he swung, I think, in the fifth over.
That's right. Stark has 2 overs. Like, his first bowling, his first decision as captain, tactically, was to take a bloke off who had taken a wicket first ball. He took him out of the attack after 2 overs. Wow.
Correct. And you know, people think the relationship between 2020 cricket and Test cricket is, you know, is far flung. It's not there. Well, it is there. And I think that's proof of it. You know, they were saying, you know, like, you know, Joe Root and that top order of England, you know, they're bowling to them as they would, you know, honing in on individuals that have issues with bowlers in the opposition attack. Now, we see that in 2020 all the time. That's part of the build up and the planning to say, right, you know, Simon O'Donnell's going to bowl to Vossie, and you know, and Andrew Voss is going to bowl to such and such because he's a lefty, he bowls well to lefties, all those sorts of things. Well, suddenly we're seeing that as a tactic in Test cricket. And that just as a tactic. The other bit is that these guys are ready to bowl at any time. You know, you're thinking, oh, he's going to have 5 or 6 overs, then, you know, that'll be a change. You know, that's sort of, you're sitting in your chair thinking that'll happen. Suddenly you think, hang on, that Cummins has got the ball. What's going on here? but that's just the way these athletes can perform these days, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Well, it's like artificial power plays in Test cricket. As I said, in my verdict, I said it yesterday, I say it again today, Test cricket, you can put your little greater than symbol, it's greater than all. It's greater than, you know, we've loved the T20 World Cup recently, but the intrigue, the compelling viewing that is Test cricket, and I throw in the effort of Patel for the Kiwis the other day, the 10 wickets, you know, it's just amazing stuff. And yesterday, yet another shot in the arm for Test cricket. Can't wait for play to get underway today. Our coverage starts at 9 o'clock. Simon, thank you for coming on and sharing your thoughts.
Pleasure, Bossy. Anytime.
Good on you. Simon O'Donnell right there. And I said, Bob Hawke, it's almost like a test starting on a Wednesday. Like the first 3 days of the test are work days. I mean, how much work's going to get done now today? Like, seriously, everyone's going to be tuned in watching the cricket. We celebrate today. It would have been the birthday of Bob Hawke. So I reckon these words from Bob, his most famous quote, almost ring true today.
I tell you what, any boss who sacks anyone for not turning up today is a bum.
Thank you, Hawkey. They're watching the cricket. Happy Hawkey Day here on 1170 SEN.
And now on Breakfast with Vossi, the back page with Michael Carayannis. Thanks to Harley Heaven, the home of Harley Davidson in Sydney.
Yes, Michael Carayannis. In fact, on for the last time this year, the Telegraph's Michael Carayannis done a sterling job all year. He'll be good again today, I've got a feeling. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Vossi. Yeah, coming to an end, but that's obviously a good time. It means we all get a break and it's Christmas, mate. It's an exciting time.
Hey, listen, can I just ask you just a little internal one? Newspapers these days reacting to a moment like yesterday, like the first ball of the test, and, you know, there's rolling coverage on the website, but all of a sudden it's such a moment. Then what happens behind the scenes?
Oh, yeah, there's a bit of chaos. People obviously want to... The big thing is you got to try and provide content for people that might not have seen it or missed that first ball or who are, you know, working or whatever. So you want to try and get a few paragraphs up straight away and then try and attach the clip to it as well of the Mitchell Stark wicket. And then there's the reaction from the commentators on Fox and Seven and, you know, the reaction to on Twitter and the like as well that you try and generate a bit of discussion. So there's definitely when a big moment like that happens, it's all hands on deck to try and get a story out and a reaction piece as well, so people can be engaged in.
Well, one of the people you would have helped yesterday was I got the golf nut here on the text. He says, I was in a team meeting yesterday, door was closed, and down the hall a fair distance is the lunchroom. When we heard a massive roar from there coming from the lunchroom, I'll never forget that moment when I heard the first wicket of the Ashes 2021, but didn't see it. So, you know, lots of people would be like that. You know, we'd be people bipping their horns in the car, others wondering what they're doing. They're on the phone. Now, let's get to a big story today, and it's to do with the Panthers fans. What do you know about a new stadium for Penrith?
Yeah, this has been bubbling on for, probably the best part of 2 years now. The state government is committed to funding where they re-diverted some of the funds that were going to go to Sydney Olympic Park to suburban stadiums. And there's been quite a jostling for position on which ground would get done first. And it looks like it's going to be Penrith. There's still no time frame on that, but it looks like Penrith will get done first. And I think, you know, we'll probably play out the end of the 2022 season before work starts there. But yeah, new boutique stadium for Penrith. No time frame yet, but exciting time for the Panthers. And then we look at which other grounds are potential. You know, we're hearing, you know, the West Tigers are desperate for Campbelltown to get some sort of upgrade. Manly, confident Brookvale will finally get a long-awaited significant upgrade. There's one that's happening there at the moment. And there's obviously been talk about Cogger Oval as well and putting a, you know, a swimming pool and a multi-purpose facility there as well. So there's a bit going on in stadium land at the moment. But Penrith, first cab off the rank to get one done.
Yeah, I know. And I say this, and please take it the right way. They're saying it will cost only $300 million. Now, I say that because I think what they're proposing, I think it would cost more, personally, even though it is 25 to 30,000 people, but it's more than just a stadium. If you're building from scratch, the demolition of what you have, building from scratch, car parks, all the bits and pieces around it, and they want it as a cultural destination, so there's obviously going to be other facilities. I think you're not going to get any change out of $300 million. But anyway, that story there. Now, quickly, another story covered extensively today, Latrell Mitchell. Watch your mail. Switching positions, it's been floated out there. Let's try and look ahead to when he makes his comeback. Do you think he'll be fullback? Will he be centre? Will he be in the halves? What's your thoughts?
Nah, he'll be fullback. Surely. Surely Latrell Mitchell stays in the number one jersey at South Sydney at the moment. I can't see him playing in return into the centres. I just think he'll get a little bit lost there. And I don't think there's an... I know they've lost Adam Reynolds, but that combination of Latrell Mitchell sweeping out the back alongside Cody Walker was probably the most devastating in the competition at times last season. So I can't see him moving out of the fullback role for now.
All right, Michael. Well, as I say, thank you for your contribution to the program during the year. You're one of the best in the business covering rugby league. A good fella as well. Keep your chins up, mate, and have a great Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, mate, and enjoy the break.
Good on you. Michael Carayannis from The Telegraph. David Riccio on the program tomorrow with more news, primarily out of rugby league. Big news out of the Champions League. Due to extensive snow, the refs and players have postponed the match between Atalanta and Villarreal there. So an announcement for a new date will be announced soon. All sorts of problems. They're dealing with COVID now. They're dealing with snow. Michelle Bishop coming up with a sports update in just a moment. Thursday morning breakfast with Vossi, 1170 SEN.
You're listening to the best of Vossi. On Breakfast with Vossi, a sports update with Michelle Bishop.
This time yesterday, we're talking about, we're having a bit of fun. We're trying to establish, is he from Penrith? No, he's from the Glenbrook Blaxland Cricket Club, and we said, well, what a moment. You know, that cricket club today has a captain of Australia. Now they have a captain of Australia who took 5 wickets on his first day as captain of Australia.
And I have the name for the movie, probably stealing it, but Perfect Pete, after his 5-wicket haul, it's stuff that, you know, dreams are made of, isn't it? Certainly dismissed any concerns his critics had about whether he'd juggle the two roles. He was an absolute strike weapon. Ben Stokes was among his victims. And then we moved to Mitchell Starc, the very first ball of the series, sending Burns packing. Vossi, I ran out of Telstra. I was actually in Telstra because I thought I'll get enough time to go over and pay the bill and do what I've got to do to be back to be able to watch it, and couldn't believe what had actually taken place. And the poor gentleman that was serving me, he sort of didn't know what was going on either. And when he's like, no, no, really? No, that couldn't have happened. So as you say, I think we will all remember where we were on day one of this Ashes series. Josh Hazlewood, he entered the fray. England was reeling at 3 for 11 inside just 6 overs. Then it was see you later, Joe Root, for a duck of all things. Cameron Green claimed his maiden test wicket, all out for 147 in just 50.1 overs. And then, of course, the heavens opened up. Did us a bit of a favour, I think. I think it was a blessing in disguise for our Aussie batsmen. You know, having to kick off under those angry, dark skies in Brisbane wouldn't have been ideal. So, yeah, wow. And look, the Prime Minister, he's supportive of that fifth test. He's backing Tasmania, says that's where it has to be. Of course, all three, the Victorian, New South Wales and Tasmanian governments have pitched to Cricket Australia for that fifth test. And he says, look, you know, I'm looking forward to all the tests and they'll all be around everywhere, and it's only fair that Tasmania gets a crack.
I oppose the motion, Mr. Prime Minister.
Well, the funny thing is as well, the two highest profile people coming from Tasmania, the two biggest voices that could spruik, you know, the state deserves this, Ricky Ponting, and he's in a tough spot. He's working for one of the broadcasters for Channel 7. So, and we all know it's well documented the broadcasters want it to be in Sydney or Melbourne. So he's sort of silenced. And then there's David Boone, and he can't say a word as the ICC match referee for the Ashes series. So, look, when you've got the Prime Minister in your corner, I suppose, you know, he's a bit of a heavyweight. Maybe it might get them across the line.
Pommy Rabideau's asking, do you say the movie should be called Perfect Pete? Because he's saying it should be Perfect Pat.
Did I say Pete? Sorry.
Yeah, you said Pete, so that was the limit of the time. So where did that come from? I'm trying to think, what, is there a famous movie called Perfect Pete?
Why
would we call the movie about Pat Cummins? Oh, that's a beauty. That's gold, Michelle. Well done. Well done. By the way, one of our listeners says, if the ball is moving around similar to English conditions this morning, the Poms will have a first innings lead. So he's got great faith in the Australian bowling attack, in the England bowling attack. Minus Anderson and Broad, there you go. But anyway, it's fascinating listening. I was listening in the car, I'm driving, listening to the commentary of Jared Wheatley and Damien Fleming. And Damien's laughter is amazing, you know. I tell you, in some ways it reminded me a little bit of the miracle try in Origin when you go back and listen to roles of co-commentators. Go back and listen to Rab's call of the Mark Coyne try. And you got Fatty giving it to Sterlo. It's, oh, that's all Sterlo could get at. It was, oh, you know, like, It was just
great
stuff.
I think sometimes we realise just how, you know, obviously doing this on air to you, Bossy, but just how talented you guys are. Because, you know, yesterday, as I say, Jared just described it beautifully. Mm. The commentary was awesome and you felt like, you were just watching it.
But the boys in the commentary team yesterday had done a great job building up that sense of anticipation. They'd run through, you know, documented the history of first ball in the series, and then that's what happened, and all Damien Fleming could do was laugh. So quite incredible stuff. Now, can we just talk briefly about Tennis Australia? I called it a cutout pass they've thrown this morning. So, you know, they're saying if players come forward with medical exemptions, nothing to do with us.
Tennis,
you know, like
Australia.
It's almost like Novak, if he comes up with something, gets a Serbian doctor to produce some sort of document that says he can't be vaxxed, Tennis Australia will say, oh, come in, Mr. Novak. Come in,
well,
Mr. Djokovic.
It'll be a little bit trickier than that because Tennis Australia is completely distancing itself from it, saying it's with any medical exemptions. It's all up to the medicos. We want nothing to do with it. But I think it will come down to the Australian medical sort of system, not so much just overseas. But, you know, he is the world number one, Novak Djokovic, about to set a milestone with 21 Grand Slams, surpassing Federer and Nadal. And, of course, Tennis Australia, they want their main man there. It's crazy if you don't think otherwise. They need bums on seats. They basically were absolutely crushed during COVID, losing over $100 million in just 15 months. So they're pretty desperate. And I think it'll be kind of like, oh, okay, all right, if we must.
Yeah, there we go. Another great text. We're back on cricket. My labourer is from Saudi Arabia and does not understand much about cricket. After that first ball, he looked at me as if I was a little crazy. It was a great performance, and I'm very keen to see how Australia fare today. So there you go, on work sites. As I said, in the interview with Simon O'Donnell, I heard Jared, they had feedback from these pool maintenance guys. One of them fell into the pool after the wicket. They were that excited about it.
You're listening to the best of Vossi.
To a very serious sport in Australia at the moment. Matty Groves back in the news today, giving a detailed account of her experience as a young female swimmer in this country.
Yeah, this is really disturbing. So she claims to have been sexually abused from the age of 13 by a person who's still working in the sport. And I gather that's, you know, the most amazing part. And she's revealed this in an interview with the ABC. She's declined to name the individual who abused her. She doesn't want to pursue criminal charges. And just on that, I hope she's not judged for that because it's quite a complex situation. She's also accused two coaches of mistreating her throughout her time, and it's really important to stress that these two coaches, she's not saying it was anything sexual, but it was mental and physical torture. Things like weighing her by the pool deck dripping wet and watching her food intake just constantly, like to ridiculous levels where she wasn't trusted to enter a food hall on her own. She had to be supervised. And her quote was really disturbing, Vossi. There was a pretty consistent attitude that women were emotional, high-maintenance beings that were unable to cope with high-pressure performance, basically. She also talked about claims of a coach that left bruises on her body when demonstrating swimming movements during training. Mm. Now, I just can't even get my head around that one.
No, not at
and
all.
It, yeah, I just don't even know how. Swimming Australia has acted, bringing a panel of investigators together to look into issues around women and girls in the sport. And they've also, thankfully, referred this particular matter to the Queensland Police. But Vossi, I'd like to go a step further with this one and sort of say, is it just an isolated, situation with women and girls in the sport? Did this happen to young male swimmers? Were they bullied, into not eating, weighing by the pool deck and, you know, where they're dripping wet? Was it just a female thing? I'd like them to dig deeper. Leaving bruises on your arms when you're training, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and the passing of time, I mean, it only just gets worse. I mean, you're horrified that it was allowed to happen, that it was not, it's not until now, and she's been living with this, you know, these thoughts, and this is what she went through. And you know, they're just young girls at the time. You know, an adult now is dealing with it. But at the time, how confused must they have been, you know, and expectation on them and all those things. Is this just normal? You know what I mean? Like, is this just the way things are done? I'm a great swimmer. I'm on my way to being an elite athlete. Is this the way things are done?
And also the parents, terrible. You know, getting up in the morning, dropping them off the pool.
Yeah, exactly.
That they're, you know,
that's
doing the hard yards and they're being taken care of, you know.
And they probably think they don't want to let their parents down, so they keep going to the training and all of that. There's a commitment there. Yeah, no, terrible story. Let's hope they They've got to get through right until everything has to be uncovered here, everything. And there has to be something out of it. It can't just be a written report and nothing more. Thank you, Michelle, for a sports update, the good, the bad, the ugly, really, this morning. And you'll be back at 8:30, of course.
I'll be back with Perfect Pat, not Perfect Pete.
Perfect Pat. That's Imperfect Pat, the movie. Or Postman Pat. I've never heard of Postman Pete. Postman Pat. He was there.
I'm out.
You're out. Champions League this morning too. If you tuned into some of the games across in Munich, stadium empty due to Omicron. Bayern Munich playing Barcelona. That's 1-0 to Bayern Munich after 35 minutes, but stadium empty. They've just had their most deadly day in terms of COVID since February. 527 people died in Germany. 70,000 new infections. So I said earlier, you know, bad winter in many places in Europe. And they're dealing with yet another wave of COVID. It is 17 and a half minutes to eight. A little bit of Big Bash League Supercoach coming up. We've also got Sam Whiteman on from the Sydney Thunder this morning later in the program. Sydney Thunder also 1-1 and due to play their second match tomorrow against the Melbourne Stars. So plenty of cricket coming your way.
You're listening to the best of Vossie.
Brett Finch, what a character as a player. As a commentator, I'm happy to say, as a mate, I've worked with Brett across a number of networks along the way, and there's a reason for that. It's a very colourful past, and off the field, Brett obviously has had to deal with some demons, some pretty serious ones. Well, on a podcast that's turned up, it's at Turn Up The Talk. It's a mental health podcast. Finchy, in typical style, and he's a terrific storyteller, but this is real life, his own life, some of the admissions that he makes. Now, this piece of audio I'm going to play for you, it runs a couple of minutes, but it runs through a period of his life that may well have been rock bottom. Have a listen.
What's that look like? You're at rock bottom. What's rock bottom for you?
Rock bottom was, mate, I'd be stood down from Channel 9 just to get healthy. I was still working on the radio and I had a bit of a big night. The missus was asleep in bed. So I knew my alarm was going to go off to get go to work. Or my missus was going to get up. So I put me, go jump into bed, pretend to be asleep.
The yeah, no, so you've just jumped into bed before your alarm's going off.
Before my missus, yeah, right, so she okay. thinks I've been in bed all night, you know. I've been up all, you know, I've been out in the lounge room all night awake, obviously using and drinking. Pretend to wake up, put me radio shirt on, just work for 2GB, continuous call at the time. I've already rung Ray to tell him I was sick. Get the car, go straight to me dealer's house, you know. I know my missus from Melbourne, she's not going to be listening to the radio, you know.
Yeah, right.
But me mum,
and she thinks you're going to work.
Of course she does, but she's not going to listen to the radio to think, I'm not on it. So I'm thinking, Finchie, you magnificent bastard. You've come up with a great, you know. I'm just going to go, get on with all day. But my mum listens to me, well, what's wrong with her? I said, Brett's sick, and she knew exactly, Ellie knew exactly where I'd gone, and she said, I'm out, I'm going. So she packs the bags, goes back to Melbourne. I get home and it's like, mate, she's gone. Now I'm stood down from both jobs. And I go to my account. So I'm obviously just go to my account and I'm like minus $10. I've got 18 months earlier, I had hundreds of thousands, you know.
Yeah.
And my first thought is, where can I pick up? Where can I get another one from?
Yeah.
It's taken everything from me, but I'm still...
My thought is, your main priority.
I still want to put another one. You know, it's just ridiculous. You know, I've just lost everything. And I sat there and went, well, you know, not that I ever contemplated suicide, but I sat there and went, mate, this is not living. This is existing, you know. I don't have a dollar to my name. Not one. You know, I've got no job now. I've got, my missus has left. You know, this is not living. This is existing. And I thought, you know, if something's got to change. And
what an account. Brett Finch of his life, rock bottom. That is the podcast at Turn Up The Talk. It's a mental health podcast, not a sporting podcast, but there is Finchy laying it all bare, stripping off every layer of the onion and part of his life. And all credit to him that he bounces back, that he has the strength. He's got weaknesses, quite obviously. We all do. But to Finchy, that's part of the story right there. And you can hear him on SEN. And as I said, great storyteller. He's a terrific analyst of rugby league and so passionate. But, you know, at times in his life, he's dealing with some pretty serious demons. It's 9 minutes after eight. Let's talk a little more cricket now on Breakfast with Vossie 1170 SEN. Not of the test cricket kind. Let's change to the Big Bash League. Continued overnight. Sydney Sixers among the winners last night. Previous to that, the Sydney Thunder opened their campaign for the season with a 7-wicket victory over the Brisbane Heat. A little bit more to the story. They were struggling at 3 down, and then Alex Ross came to the party in a good partnership and ended up a very comfortable win in the 17th over. Sam Whiteman, member of the Sydney Thunder side, has been good enough to join us this morning. He's on the line. Welcome to the show, Sam.
Good morning, Vossie.
Hey, listen, before we talk Big Bash, I should probably say, you are Yorkshire-born, aren't you? Like, we're going way back.
Yep, a long way back. But
You're Aussie through and through. You came here very early in the piece.
Yeah, that's it. Family moved over to Perth when I was 3, so it's been a while.
But that means there's family. That's mean there's family who are born and bred in England. What was the reaction to yesterday?
Oh, that's it. Well, most of my family still live in England, but we have a good laugh every time the Ashes come on, and I'm obviously support Australia, and they obviously support England, so it's good fun.
Look, in all seriousness, at different points in your career, because you did play some league cricket as a younger age, you went back to England and played some cricket. Could you have followed a path there, being eligible to play for England?
Yeah, when I went and played club cricket in England when I was 18, it was a possibility, and I sort of had nothing lined up in Australia, and decided to hold off and came back to Australia and gave that a good crack, and luckily, with Western Australia and got an opportunity there when I was 20. So, but really, really happy it worked out. I love playing cricket in Australia. I love playing for WA and now the Sydney Thunder.
Yeah, well, now you're well established in first class cricket in Australia, wicketkeeper, and but not necessarily having to fulfil those duties when it comes to the Big Bash League. But you hold your own, obviously, in the batting order as well. Just with all we've been through over the last 12 months, 18 months, just to be back playing cricket, and there are crowds. I mean, it's a big deal, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool to be playing in front of crowds again. Last year was a little bit different, but the other night in Canberra, there was a nice crowd, and we can't wait to get back to the Showgrounds Stadium. And I've travelled there in the past as an opposition player, and it's a bit of a fortress. It's a bit of a funny ground. It's loud, plenty of green, so we can't wait to get back there in front of the fans.
Well, look, Sam, I'll ask you a little bit more just about that game over Brisbane Heat, because nervous. I mean, the wickets tumbled early. There was 3 down. You were one of those dismissed. You've made a contribution, and then suddenly you're 3 down. What was the talk at that stage?
Oh, the talk after losing 3 wickets is obviously just to build a partnership. We're obviously chasing a reasonably low score, and we got off to a good start runs-wise. The run rate was fine, so it was just a matter of building a partnership, and Sam Billings and Alex Ross batted really well, did what the team needed, and it was good to see him finish the job as well. We ended up winning by 7 wickets, is a pretty big win in the Big Bash. So really good start, lets everyone relax a little bit. First win of the season, good start.
Well, that's right. You were scoring at 10 and over, but it was just the fact that 3 wickets had fallen by the fourth over, 3 for 32. Now, on that performance too, a member of your side that we've been fascinated by here, and we've watched his progress with New South Wales. He's only just turned 20, but you have young Tenvi Singer in your side, this leg spinner. What's your impressions first up?
Yeah, well, I sort of watched him from afar playing for WA. We haven't played New South Wales this year, but he got a good crack in the Shield and the One Days as well, I think. So, and he's done really well. So, facing him in the nets and being a teammate, he's really, really impressed me. Seems like he's got a pretty mature head on his shoulders. Just a beautiful bowler. So he's definitely one of the more dangerous bowlers in the Big Bash. And I think there's going to be some big things from him in the future.
All right. And next up for the Sydney Thunder is the Melbourne Stars tomorrow night, still licking their wounds after being, pummeled in the first game by the Sydney Sixers. So they will be desperately keen to bounce back. You've got to be ready for a bit of an ambush, I would think.
Yeah, I think they'll definitely bounce back. I think they've got a couple of senior players come back in from a pretty young side the other night. And, we'll play them tomorrow night. So, yeah, we're expecting him to come out firing at the MCG. So, good opportunity for us to go up to Melbourne and get a win and go 2-0 up. Be a good start to the campaign.
Good stuff, Sam. And by the way, go easy on Alex Hales because he is part of your squad as well in light of yesterday. Just give him a cuddle, maybe. Say you're there for him.
Yeah, that's it. That's it, mate. Yeah.
Sam, great to have you on the program, mate. We're following the progress of the Thunder and the Sixers, obviously, closely. And so far, it's 2-from-2 for the Sixers. It's 1-from-1 for the Thunder. Let's see if you can make it 2-from-2 as well tomorrow night. Thank you for coming on the program.
No worries. Thanks, Vossie.
You're listening to the best of Vossie.
Ah, what a day. And look, I must say, people are saying, boy, we're going over the top after just one day of the Ashes series. But you can talk it up. You can be positive because it was extraordinary. I really do think, is it complacent? Are we going to get a shock? Well, maybe we will, and that'll be part of the conversation tomorrow. You know, bring it on. Bring it on. Let's have a competitive test. Let's have twists and turns where we don't know what's going to happen next. Fantastic. This one. There we go. We've got a story here. Michelle saying Perfect Pete instead of Pat reminded me of the couple who had twin boys but couldn't decide on a name as it was raining outside the hospital and the rain was hitting the hospital window. They called their kids Peter and Pat. I'm sure it's a true story. There you go. That's an interesting one. Vossie, yesterday's first ball dismissal took me back to another memorable wicket in a test match when Dennis Lilly bowled Viv Richards with the last ball of the day in a test against the West Indies. Now, that was at the MCG. Was there not three wickets? It was like this amazing spell in the shadows of, you know, the end of play, and Lilly came out with his magic spell. I think Larry Gomes might have been one of the wickets. Anyway, there were three wickets fell, and Lilly was on a roll, and all of Australia was on his back. And it would have been a Boxing Day test as well. So, yeah, that's a great moment in cricket. Now, one of the best stories of the week, it remains Aapie Leichhardt, sorry to Wanderers fans, but knocking the Wanderers out. It is the essence of the FFA Cup, the essence of the FA Cup across in the UK, that you have these Cinderella-type stories. They are into the final 16, and I'm delighted to say I have the coach, Daniel Cummins, online because we had listeners yesterday, some saying, oh, they'd be back to work. Others saying, "Bigs ass, they won't be back to work. They'll be on the terps." Let's get clarification of that. Daniel, welcome to the show and congratulations to you and your team.
Hey, Vossie, thanks. Nice to have me here.
Well, first of all, did you go back to work yesterday after the night at Leichhardt Oval and the victory of your team?
Yeah, yeah, mate, we're straight back at it next day, unfortunately. Most of the lads had to get back into work. One or two of them went back in with a sore head, though.
Well, and granted, conceded. I think Bob Hawke would say, any boss who sacks a Aapie Leichhardt player is a bum for not celebrating. It's a remarkable story. Did the result come as a surprise to you?
Well, I think, first and foremost, it was a surprise because they're 3 weeks into their season, so they're hitting their straps. But what we spoke about during the week is having a game plan and putting ourselves in a position that we would be in the arm wrestle. And we knew that we had the quality on our side of the park to create chances. It's just whether we were good enough to take them on the day. And, you know, on the night, we were fantastic. All the players followed the plan to a T, and we were lucky enough to come away with the win.
Daniel, it's a famous club. It's a famous Australian club. NSL champions way back in 1987. Do the players, may I ask, do they appreciate the history of Aapie Leichhardt? I mean, as a kid, I used to go along to Lambert Park. It's one of the more intimate venues to watch sport. And there's this little ground on the corner, Lambert Park, and you're close up to the action. Do the current players appreciate the history of the club?
Yeah, definitely. I think when you look back, and I was a youngster that used to get down there too, Vossie, you know, when you look back at, you know, the history of this club, it's a very prestigious club and it's very had a lot of success. And, you know, there's a lot of people and a lot of supporters that still come down and support us that are from those days. And a lot of those players from those times are attached to the club as well. So it's not lost on us, the importance of that. And particularly when we get the opportunity to play on the national stage, it's a reminder just of the journey that this club's had.
Yeah, great stuff. Daniel Cummins is coach of Aapie Leichhardt. Can I ask you, Daniel, so your job, I mean, how many hours combining a job with coaching as well? You've obviously got your hands full.
Yeah, look, and it's a passion, right? And I'm a student of the game, so I love the football. And, you know, we got a couple of hours outside of my normal job where I'll do some match analysis. We've got the GPSs on the boys. We'll do some conditioning work, so we'll do a fair bit of planning that goes into that. So, you know, we're a semi-professional club, but we try and be as professional as we can for the boys. You know, we've got a lot of boys in our side that are ambitious and aspiring to be in those Western Sydney Wanderers shirts. So, you know, the best thing that we can do is give them every opportunity to be successful.
Yeah, great stuff. And call to arms right now. Get on the bandwagon. Can we? Is there room for us all to hop on? Have we come on late onto the RPL Leichhardt bandwagon?
Mate, Vossie, it's never too late. We need as much support as we can. We've got Central Coast Mariners, I think, on the 21st of December at Leichhardt Oval. I heard you earlier talk about getting on the hill. Mate, we'd love to see you back on the hill. We'd love to see as many supporters as we can. I think that's the magic of the Cup. And, you know, we want to try and put ourselves in a position to make it difficult for Central Coast. And we want to be a game plan there that we, you know, will create opportunities and, again, keep the dream alive.
What about a pizza in Norton Street after a win too and a lemonade? How good would that be?
Yeah, it'll be a shot on the club. If you get down there and we win, no problems.
Daniel, all the very best.
The president might have a problem with that.
I still think it is one of the best sporting stories of the week. And obviously we've got some big sport, but we love the essence of the FFA Cup. This is what it is about. Opportunity for teams such as yours. You're on your way. Central Coast Mariners next up. Let the giant killers continue their run. Good on you. Thanks for coming on the program and pass on our congratulations to all the boys and the team.
Thanks, Mossy. Will do, mate.
Daniel Cummins, that is quite a story. So they knock over the Western Sydney Wanderers a few years ago. They beat Melbourne Victory. And now next up, Central Coast Mariners. Look out, they're coming to get you. That is a great story. Other texts coming through just late. This one from the Bean Counting Rooster, the Brisbane Bean Counting Rooster, no less. Vossie, if there is ever a day you want your internet to go down, it's the day the Zoom call letting you know you're being fired is scheduled. Ain't that true? This one from Fob Dogs, well done to the bro, Finchie. As a depression survivor, you are not alone. So plenty tapping into that. So, look, I know, Turn Up the Talk podcast, never heard of it, I've got to be honest. And that's been coming to my attention this morning, and it just stopped me in my tracks when I heard Finchie talking in that manner. You know, I know a bit of Finchie's past. I'd never heard the Rock Bottom tale. But that is a mental health podcast, so he's outside the sphere of sport talking about that. And speaking honestly and earnestly, Brett Finch, about his own life and some very, very frank admissions. So good on you, Finchie. You have our support here at SEM. We love having you as part of the team. Always great to work with. Look, cricket is coming up. You do not want to miss. Before that, Champions League, just pass on the score. Manchester United Young Boys 1-1 draw in the Champions League this morning. Not quite the send-offs of the matches yesterday. It was a red card day. But no, the SEM coverage, I stand by what I said earlier. It's the best radio broadcast of cricket I've ever heard. Yesterday's coverage, the chemistry of the team here on SEN, absolutely fantastic, painting the picture for us who can't get near a TV to watch the action. I was out on the road yesterday listening to the SEN coverage. It's all about to start again, day two of Australia v England, and I'll see you tomorrow morning.
Breakfast with Vossie.
Anthony Field, Blue Wiggle, Tigers tragic.
On the way to the hospital, I said, do you mind if we drive past the Leagues Club? And we diverted, and I went past the Leagues Club just to get a bit of atmosphere.
Weekdays from 6 on 1170 SEN.
For Bryden's Lawyers.
Let their team of workers' compensation experts help you to recover the benefits that you deserve. And 4D Doors. Smarter, quieter, safer.
Garage Doors Redefined.
Discover more at 4ddoors.com.au.